get your Bible or your phone or whatever it is you use and say, this is my Bible. It's the living word of God. And I believe it on purpose. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you, Father, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can have ears to open to hear what you have to say to us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Second, hon, can you pass my water? Sorry, I forgot my water. You know, I always like to have sips as I go. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and a helpmeet. Thanks, honey. So it's funny because I'm sitting there reading a little bit earlier and thinking about things, and I know a pastor was touched on breakthrough a couple of weeks ago and stuff, so I was thinking about breakthrough as well and breaking through the walls because I like what Pastor Steve said, because my scripture is Joshua 6. We're going to look at that and then go from there. A little things about the walls of Jericho. We're not going to stay on it a lot, but I just thought it was kind of a neat scripture. So in Joshua 6, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I was going to look at a couple of different scriptures, a couple of different verses. But I was listening to something, and I was thinking about, what is breakthrough? It's a sudden burst of advanced knowledge or revelation knowledge that will prepare you through every line of Satan's defense. The only thing keeping you out of what he promised is your knowledge. As soon as you get the knowledge or the revelation, the knowledge itself will break you through. Now, that was Rod Parsley was talking about that a little bit. I thought it was kind of interesting because everything we do, you know, even when it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you can't have faith any stronger than what your knowledge is of who God is, right? You can't have faith in healing if you don't know God's a healer, right? I didn't have faith to get saved until somebody told me that God was, or Jesus was my Savior, right? Your faith can only be based on how high your knowledge is. So when you have knowledge, you come to church, you sit under the word, you know, you listen to pastor, teach, and stuff like that, and you start increasing your knowledge, it will increase your breakthrough, right? If you want breakthrough in finances, then you need to find out what the Word of God says about finances, right? If you want breakthrough in your healing, you need to find out what the Word of God says about healing. And not just supernatural healing or supernatural finances, but even things that we're going to look at, even things that we do naturally when God prompts you to do something, right? And so that's what I love about the fact that, you know, God doesn't just, you know, rain money down from heaven. He will tell you to do things like prepare a resume for a job, go back to school to do things, right? Start up a business. These are things naturally, but when God comes alongside, right, it'll increase that because there's an anointing that he places within us. And that's what's exciting, and that's what helps, you know, to break through these things in our lives, you know, because I know, you know, I quit smoking through revelation knowledge that God was my deliverer. My wife went up for prayer and quit smoking when the pastor's wife prayed for her and she's done. But I also know people that aren't saved that quit smoking naturally, right? But they don't have the same victory because my wife quit and that was it. Struggle was done, you know, because she listening to her spirit man, right? The same as me, you listen to your spirit man. But it's nice when God comes along. I know that's maybe not a very good example because there are things as believers that we can do supernaturally that when you look at where some believers are, I know when I look at our marriage, where we are now, and we were 20 years ago, it is supernatural. There are things that I tell you, man, it's an awesome testimony. So I just want to look at the fact of Joshua 6, and I'm going to start at verse 1. So I'm going to skip some Kendra as I go. I think it's Kendra. Yes. Now Jericho was securely shut up. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. I love verse 2. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you that land. And can you go New King James, if you don't mind? I know my note says King James, but. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor, their army, or their men, their fighting men. But I love the fact that they haven't done nothing yet. They haven't marched around it. They haven't blown the trumpets. They haven't shouted. They've showed up. What does God say? It's yours. See, I have given you the city. It's already yours. And Joshua's like, but it's still there. The walls are up. Everything's there. But what does God say? I've given it to you. It's already yours. See? Can you see it? Can you see what he's already given you? Can you see that he's already done things to you, even though you might not see it naturally? Can you see it, right? He's implanting something. We are made in the image or the imagination of God. Man, we are made in the image. God had an image of man, and then he made. But he says, see, I've given it to you. He's placing a seed, right? He's placing a seed of the word into Joshua. See, I've already given it to you. And then verse 3 says, you shall march around the city, all your men of war, all of you, not some, all of you. You shall go around the city once, and this you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet with all the people, you shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat. And we know when they did this, it happened. The thing is, they had to be obedient. You're going to walk around the city for once a day for 6 days. But 3 million people, you're not going to say a word. How hard would that be? I'm a talker. If you know me, I would have a hard time. They say the city was about, let's say, I don't know, 7 miles, 7 miles around or something. Like, wasn't it necessarily a huge city? I know, like, when we were on strike, I had to walk around our plant. And that took maybe 20 minutes to go around a plant, which isn't that big. And 20 minutes, me not talking, that's supernatural in itself. So this would be, we have to be obedient to what God tells us to do. You're going to do this 6 times, or 6 days, once a day. Now on the last day, you're going to go around 7 times. Still being quiet the first 6. But then on the 7th time, he says, you're going to blow the trumpets or the shofars. Those are those things that you'll see, right? You see, Orthodox Jews have them. He says, and when they do that, the priests are going to blow it. So priests are important. He says, then you're going to shout a shout. That word, you should shout with a great shout. It's not just a loud noise. It is a shout, which is a sound of victory, is what it says in Hebrews. You're going to express your victory. You're going to shout because you already have been given the city. And this is what's going to manifest the walls coming down. This is what's going to manifest your breakthrough. Because that's what they wanted. They wanted to break through, right? It never says that Jericho had a great army. It doesn't say they were afraid of the archers. It doesn't say in those days, not everybody necessarily had an army. They had a wall that kept the enemy out. But God had a plan, right? His first city in the promised land, he had a plan. He had a plan that was going to take the walls down. And they went, and it happened. And it was exciting that they got their breakthrough. They went in, and then they did everything God told them to do. They got rid of all the animals and everything. Just that was it, you know. And then that was their first city. And I love it. I love this is their first fruit of Canaan. And God says, you're not going to keep nothing. No animals, no gold, nothing in the armories, nothing that is there. You're going to destroy it all. It's all mine. This is your tithe, in a sense. It's a foreshadow. Because anything that's in this city is going to stay in the city buried for me, is what God said. They're not allowed to take anything of it. Imagine having a victory, and you see that. I know, I'm a man, I'm normal. Imagine walking in someplace, and you're going through the city, and it's like jewelry. There's, you know, whatever, a couple of bottles of root beer, you know. Nothing. You know, it's all dedicated to me. But when they did that, every other city, you can have everything else from every other city when you go through Canaan. And that's amazing. And they did it. They were obedient, you know. And it's amazing. So I'm going to look at a couple of things to help with your breakthrough. You know, because like I said, it's nothing major, nothing extravagant. But, you know, I like to share the word. And like I said, I always find it an honor when Pastor asks. So, the first one is, we have to keep our testimony. If you want a breakthrough, you got to keep your testimony. You got to be careful what we say. You know, if you have a testimony that you have a happy home because you've gotten one step and you need a breakthrough at another step, you got to keep your testimony. You know, the Bible, Revelation says that you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. No good me having a good 5 years with my wife, me sharing a testimony that my marriage is good, you know, it's godly, we're serving God, but then I stop sharing that. I don't tell nobody. No, everybody thinks my marriage is no different than anybody else I work with. And my marriage should be different. If you're a believer, your marriage should be different than those in the world. Really, right? We should be different. I should be respecting my wife, honoring my wife, laying down my life for my wife, right? Lifting her up, exalting her, magnifying her, you know? Because that's in living according to what the Word of God says. But if we stop sharing our testimony, you know, when somebody says, well, you know, like I said, the smoking, you know, I say to people, yeah, you know, like I've said to people about, you know, like smoking, it's like, it's not just, well, you know, I became a Christian, I stopped smoking. People hear that all the time. You know, I became a Christian, and I'm like pastor, I love to smoke. Sometimes when he shares how much he loved to smoke, part of me like, oh yeah, the first one in the morning, even with my coffee. You know, even now when I think about it, it's not now, but sit there, like the other night we were outside and we were having a coffee outside, and it was like, just for a second, I was like, I remember 20 years ago, outside having a smoke with my coffee, you know. But you know what? My testimony is he has set me free from nicotine. Hallelujah. You know? And that doesn't mean I go running around behind the guy at work going with a straw trying to have some cigarette smoke, you know? You got to be careful. I know guys, like I said, I've worked with guys that have come out of an addiction center, got saved, set free, all of a sudden, and don't get me wrong, people love to go back where they came from. To minister to those people is a burning desire. But if you've been set free from alcohol and you're serving God and it's only been a year, it might not be time to go back and start a ministry in the bar, right? Because I remember a friend of ours in London, saved. We've known him probably 7-8 years, saved. And I knew he came out of that lifestyle. And we were talking one time. I said something about, you know, about going to the bar. He goes, nope. I'm like, it's been like 7 or 8 years that I've known you. He's like, nope. He goes, because now, I remember it was a couple of years ago we were talking, so now it's been probably 25 years. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't bother me now. I could go minister in a bar, I wouldn't care. But even 7 years afterwards, you have to know, right? God tells you to do something, it doesn't mean it's for today. He told David he was going to be king. 14 years later, he became king, I think it was. So just because God gives you a plan or a vision doesn't mean that break, well, your breakthrough is always now, but it doesn't mean that that is for today. If God tells you to do something, doesn't mean it's for today, but it means you build yourself up, keep your testimony, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Here a little, there a little, the word says that we have to build ourselves up. So we have to keep our testimony. What I love about the fact is, and I was, you know, sharing this with Kathy before we came, I said, you know, nobody can take your testimony. Somebody says to me, I don't know if I believe the Bible. That's fine. But I'll tell you, but God set me free. Well, you can't take that from me. Well, you believe God's a healer or not? God healed me. That's my testimony. You cannot take that from me. You can't take the fact that God set me free. You can't stop the fact that I believe I would be dead if it wasn't for God. That's my testimony. There's testimonies here of financial freedom, of freedom from addiction. It's a testimony, and nobody can take that from you. So, and like I said, like, you know, in Revelations, because I have the one testimony here, my next breakthrough will be easier because of the first breakthrough. David didn't just go to Goliath. He says, I fought a bear, I fought a lion. That's a testimony. God was with me. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I love the fact that he added that. They looked at a warrior. They looked at a guy who was like 9 feet tall, they said. Goliath is not just a name, it's a title. It's a guy, it's somebody who comes and rips your clothes off and breaks you down. It's something along that line is what it means. It's a title. So they said, there's this guy here. The army is afraid of the champion, they called him, the champion. David didn't say champion. David said, who's the uncircumcised person speaking against God? And they're like, yeah, but you're like, you're a youth. But I have a covenant, he said. I'm a covenant child. He's uncircumcised. He's got no covenant. Why are we? So he said, I'll do it. He had a testimony. Bear, lion, God's with me. God will be with me against him. Now, I love the fact that he went and got five smooth stones. Five smooth stones. I used to wonder why five. And if you read the Bible, it says that Goliath had four brothers. David took five just in case. Well, he knew he wasn't going to miss. But even naturally speaking, I used to think, you know, a slingshot. Then I saw a guy on some, it was before YouTube, it was like PBO or something, a TV show. He was talking about weapons of war. He takes this watermelon and they throw it up in the air and he takes a slingshot. Not like the new ones, he takes a slingshot from the Middle East, whack, hits it with a stone and the watermelon disintegrates. Psh! I was like, that's actually a battle of war. Because if you look back, all the Benjamites were slingshot. That's what their weapon of choice in the army was for the Benjamites was slingshots. It says that. With their right hand or their left hand, the king sitting on the throne is Saul, who's a Benjamite. Who should have went after Goliath with a slingshot? The head Benjamite, really. But he was like, with all the other guys going, I'm listening to what they say. The champion. We need to be like David. Amen? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? God set me free from nicotine. He can set me free from alcohol. God healed me of a headache. He can heal me from cancer. The blood is the blood is the blood. The cross is the cross. Right? I got saved. I might backslide. So I can come to him again. His forgiveness is forgiveness. Right? You know, sometimes we get all caught up in, you know, I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. His blood's paid for it, right? We are redeemed. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. To the fact that, he, like I said, he's dealt with my sin in the past. He's dealt with my sin today, and he's already dealt with my sin tomorrow. Not that we walk around unrepentant. If we do something wrong, we have to repent to him and to people, you know. But the fact is, when people say, well, you know, I did this, I can't have communion, I can't go to the prayer meeting. That's a lie from the enemy, right? God says, ask for forgiveness, and he's there. Well, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's still there. Any break in fellowship is on our side, right? You know, and I love it when, you know, when people talk about prayer, like, let's go to storm the gates of heaven. You're 750 miles away from the throne, because Revelation says heaven's 1,500 square miles. Why are you at the gates of heaven? Why can't you crawl up on your daddy's lap and sit beside him? We already are seated at the right hand of the Father. Why are we praying at the gates of heaven? But you hear these things. It's a mindset. We have to keep our testimony that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. According to Hebrews, it says that by grace I can come to the very throne of God. Right? And that's why we have to be careful of what we say. We have to be careful of our testimony that I am already righteous. If you're not ever sure about that, you go take Pastor Steve's righteousness class on Bible college, because you will learn about your authority and you will learn about your righteousness, because it'll give you revelation on who you are in him. Amen? So sometimes we have to realize that we have to have our testimony. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Proclaiming our allegiance to his name. We have to realize that we claim allegiance to his name. And not just Jehovah or Jesus, but his name. Find the seven redemptive names of God. Find out who he is. Pledge allegiance to that. But it's a continuous sacrifice. Because there are times when you might not want to feel like praising God. But praise him anyway. You might not feel like coming to church. Go to church anyway. You might not feel like handing out bags with Nathan at the streets. Hand them out anyway, right? I don't want to go to leadership. Go to leadership anyway. He died for you. He will change your life if you allow him, right, from the inside. I love coming to church. Wednesdays, Sundays, exciting. Come when we can, you know. And it's like there's certain times when we can't make it. It's like, man, it's like coming. It's like going to family dinner at home. you come. Like, I remember when I was away at school, I was like, I miss my church. You know, but it's, you can always tell when you go somewhere and it's a small church and you're new, because everybody's like, who are you? I'm only here for a month. Don't get excited. I know you want me. I'm only here for a month, you know. But it's like we have to go, and you know, it is. Like, and sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it's a sacrifice when you have to go cut mom's grass, right? Sometimes it's a sacrifice when you have to come and clean the church because you said you would. But be a man or a woman of your word, amen? Come and do what you're supposed to be doing. But it's just part of our testimony, and sometimes we have to offer sacrifice. You know, I don't feel like praising God, but we have to. We don't have to. We want to, right? You know, I remember, like I said, when my mom passed away for a couple of days, it's like, because your flesh is like, no. Because, you know, you get selfish in a sense. It's like, where did she go? Why did you do this? What's going on? But your spirit's like, yes, you're in the glory of God, looking down from heaven kind of thing, you know? And that's why we have to be careful about what we say and keeping our testimony according to the word. But somebody said, oh, God took your mom. No, God doesn't take people. My mom went to be with the Lord. The Lord didn't take her. You know, we have to watch what we say so often, because that's still part of our testimony. Oh, I wish God would show up today. Where did he go? If you're a believer, he's already within you, right? And that's why sometimes we're like, oh, I don't feel the presence of God. But he's always there. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's a Bible promise. So when we get into, you know, prayer and people are like, oh, I don't, you know, which God would show up? He's here. His power might manifest more, but his presence is always there. Amen? So I'm just going to skip to the next one because I talk a lot, as I mentioned before, but it's okay. So like I said, in Revelation 12:11, it says, they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. I love that. You keep your testimony, and what it does, it also keeps you full of faith. I know God's my healer. I know God's my healer. And you know, and it's also the fact that we realize that by the blood of Jesus, we have a testimony, right? I am redeemed. That's something, nobody can take that away from you. Amen? The second thing I have is, we have to go back to what God has said to us. If God's given us something and you want a breakthrough, but he's told you to do something, we have to go back to what he said, to whatever it is. I think his brother Hagin said something about, if you're not sure what to do, go back to the last thing God told you to do, right? We have to realize where you are. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. And I know there's many times when I came up here that I was doing something and I'm like, Lord, I'm here. I'm obedient. And he's like, yeah, you're not willing. And I used to think, oh, is that just me? And then I remember reading or listening to Brother Hagin, and the Lord told him the same thing. At least I know I'm not alone. And the Lord told my wife the same thing a while back about something. He's like, I'm here. He's like, but you're not willing. I love the fact that she told me that. So now I know I'm not alone. Because, you know, none of us are perfect. She's looking at me like, so go back to what God has told you. And like I said, it could be something as simple as buying somebody a lunch. If God told you to buy somebody lunch, that could be where your breakthrough could be right behind that. You know, I remember, I can't remember what it was. I think I shared this before, that Kathy was doing, going through something, and the Lord spoke to her, just told her to drink water. Something natural, seemed kind of weird, because it was like, you know, I'm the living water, and it became a rhema to her, and the Lord told her to drink water, and she did. And her breakthrough and her healing came on something a few years ago. I can't remember what it was now. It's like, well, that seems kind of silly. Well, she did what God told her to do. And I've done the same thing. It could be something as simple as get out, get off the couch, and go for a walk, right? You're bleeding for something. And it could be, like you say, buying something lunch. I know that when we were dating, and I knew that she was to be my wife, and everything was okay. And then we didn't see each other for a year, and then everything was okay. We had kind of a tumultuous start. But it's funny, you know, because you have to go back to everything go back to what God told me the first time. And like I said, there was a time I hadn't seen her probably, because I left the church and went to another church because of her. And not her directly, but So I was sitting there, and this young lady asked me out. So I was like, sure. I remember I went out. We had a coffee. It was like, yeah, came home. And the next day, I'm at my mom, and she, like, my mom was a Christian churchgoer, and I was telling her about this date. She goes, what about Kathy? What? She goes, well, what about Kathy? Didn't you say the Lord spoke to you? Oh, go back right to what the Lord told me. And my breakthrough was there, right? It was my breakthrough was there in that area. So we have to go back, make sure we stick with what the Lord told us, you know? 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by prophecy and with the laying on of hands. And it's the fact that he was, you know, he was pastoring this church in Ephesus. He was doing these things. And Paul was saying, don't forget, there's something in you. So he's like, you need a breakthrough in an area? Go back. Remember, something was given to you with laying on of hands and by a prophetic word. So stick with what the Lord's telling you or doing. And so he got that. And it's like he had a church of like thousands, as far as I know. You know, I saw something today where a lot of people online don't like mega churches. And, you know, there's a guy at work, and he's like, oh, mega churches. I said, well, too bad you weren't in the book of Acts. What do you mean? He said 3,000 people got saved one day. That's a mega church. Oh, let's have a house meeting. And then after, you know, half an hour after the house meeting, you get 3,000 people get saved. That's a lot of people. But, you know, we don't like big churches. But we have to do what God's told us to do. And so he had a big church, but he went through. And but I love the fact that 1 John 5:7, it says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. The only reason I mention that is because I've been, like I said, I've been around full gospel long enough that be careful if, you know, that you get a word, make sure it's of God, make sure it lines up with the Word. Amen? You know, it's like when, you know, because I've talked to some young men that are saved, going to church, meet a young lady, and I come right out because I'm not shy. Where do they go to church? Well, they don't. Why are you dating her? Well, you know, maybe the Lord. Well, the Word says, two shall not be unequally yoked. That's what the Word says. So what the God's not going to speak to you separate from what the Word says, right? If you both, I don't care if you go to the same church or not, but if you're both saved, it's one thing. But if she's not saved and you are, or vice versa, then what does the Word say? God's not going to bring you somebody who's not saved to marry if you are. I don't know, you got really quiet, but it's true, because they have to line up with the Word. So when God gives you a word, it'll line up with this, amen? You know? So the third thing I have is pray in tongues. We're a full gospel church here. Pray in tongues. I'm not going to touch a lot on this, but only because I like the fact that tongues is available instantaneously at our rebirth. Praying with tongues has everything to do with becoming prepared and qualified for a particular thing. Now, there's different things. I'm just going to read these off quickly. There's tongues for interpretation, 1 Corinthians 14:5. Tongues for deep intercessional groanings, which is Romans 8:26. Tongues for the sign of the non-believer, which is 1 Corinthians 14:22. But then there's tongues for personal edification. Because I know that sometimes people don't understand. There's a diversity of tongues, the Word says. The reason I like this, 1 Corinthians 14:4 said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So this is a supernatural language the Holy Spirit prays through us that we can use hour after hour as we desire. It accompanies the baptism usually of the Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up with your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is the only time he uses the word holy before faith. It's your holy, most holy faith. And I believe it's because when I'm praying in tongues, it's bypassing my soul, it's bypassing my intellect. It's totally unadulterated, coming from my spirit to the Spirit of God. And I love this fact because it says that you're building yourself up. And that's like building a house. My understanding of that word in Greek is you're laying a foundation, then you're building the wall, then you, I don't know, whatever else you do, I'll have to ask Nathan later, you know, you put the walls up, put your drywall, it's building. You, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit, including the gift of tongues, is all done, it says, at his will. This is done at your will. You are responsible for your own building up, your own edification. It's like faith. Well, pray that I get faith. Well, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. That's how you get faith. You can't pray for faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. So I need advocation and exhortation and stuff like that. I can pray for you, but the word also says, build yourself up in your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost, right? And I love the fact that he gives me my own responsibility to build myself up. I don't have to wait till I get home. I don't have to wait till I'm out. I can be driving along in the car, a three-hour drive, praying in tongues. I could wake up in the middle of the night, feel like a situation, and pray in tongues, build myself up. This is all over and above different things if you're interceding for people, whatever. But I love the fact that part of my breakthrough is I can build myself up in my holy faith. God allows you to build up yourself. And I think it's exciting that this one is as we decide to do it. Amen? So it's up to us. And the last one is that we are to keep our joy. That's probably more than that, but I just have four. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I love it because, you know, Miss Anita touched on joy for mourning. And it's the fact that it's not happiness, like I said. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The peace, even Jesus says, I'll give you peace the world doesn't understand. And our righteousness is not our righteousness, because our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's his righteousness. And this joy is not a happiness. You can have joy with the Lord in a situation that doesn't make sense. Like when, you know, somebody passes away, but you can have joy. You can have joy in a situation when you hear about you get laid off from work, or your finances have changed, or something happens. But out of your spirit comes righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because as believers, we know that he is supernatural, and he allows us to spring forth. I know that sometimes we allow those, like, you know, I've heard people say we allow it to leak sometimes. And it doesn't mean we have to fall down laughing all the time. But there's a joy that comes. There's a pleasantness that comes when you're serving God. And you know that no matter what's falling around me, that I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I used to think that scripture in Psalms, when it says that 10,000 on my right and 1,000 on my left will fall, I used to think, that's the enemy. No, it's not. David's saying, I don't care if the rest of the army falls. 10,000 of my colleagues fall on one side. I will stand with you, Lord. It doesn't matter if they run off, where they go, and I will stand with you, and I will be strong. And I love the fact that in Genesis 26, Genesis 12:15, it says, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He was having a hard time before this, and he was going to go somewhere, and God said, stay where you are, sow in the land during a drought. So he sowed, and he received. It says, then the man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. See, God will prosper you no matter where you are, even if the land seems dry. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and herds and great number of servants. Excuse me. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they filled them with earth. You know, so he's sitting there and these wells are being filled and he's never cared about them, but he's prospering. It says his herds are going. But sometimes as believers, for us, we can become complacent. Things are going well. Even God says in Deuteronomy, when you get to the promised land and things are going well, don't forget me. How many times do we cry out to God when we're in the valley, when we're going through the struggles? We cry out to God. God says, when you're on the mountaintop, when everything is going well, still, I want to communicate with you. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me when things are excellent. Don't forget about me when you got the promotion. Don't forget about me when you have the five kids, they're all going to Bible college, and your spouse is serving God with you, and you're in ministry. Don't forget about me, right? Sometimes we do. But I love verse Genesis 26:18. It says, and Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistine had stopped him. It says, then he called them by names. Everybody remember what Isaac means? Laughter. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. You know, what dug up the wells? If you have wells in your life that when you go back and you remember your testimony and you remember where God's brought you from, don't forget to let your Isaac, don't forget to let your laughter, because it was joy you draw from the wells of salvation. So you know when you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh Lord, what this? And I've done it. I know we've done it times. We're sitting there driving along in the car and we think about something what God's done. It's just like, you know, and you start getting a little, you know. Sometimes you might start out natural laughing, and there are times it's like, okay, you know, especially if you're driving, you know. But it's like, and you'll get taste of it. And don't forget about that, right? Allow the joy to come. Allow the joy to bring forth those things, you know. It's just the fact that we realize that we have these things, and it's a breakthrough. Because if you, you know, sometimes you'll forget your breakthrough if you're being complacent or you're being grumpy all the time, right? Like, you know, how are you going to get the next breakthrough if you had one breakthrough, say, from headache, and now you got another report from the doctor? But deep down, you know that God's a healer no matter what. But if you're like, wasn't God your healer? Yeah, I still have to go have x-rays. I still have to go see the specialist. So what? Then go. Go and say, man, I'm waiting for, like Pastor says, who cares if you get a bad report? Is God still your healer? Did God's healing stop in your life because the report didn't come back the way you wanted it to? I remember the first time he said that, it was a couple years ago, I think it was the first time I heard him say that, and I was like, it hit me. Because how many times do we have blame for a good report? Blame for a good report. And then you get the good report, and you're like, is he still not the God who heals? Is he still not Jehovah Rapha? That's when you look at it and you say, let draw with joy. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. All I know is now I have a name for my giant. That's all that means. The report might say that you had, you know, like I said, I remember years ago, I went and they did a colostomy, whatever it is, camera, okay, that's all you need to know. And then I get a report. The doctor's like, you have a hard time eating bread. I remember looking, I'm going, I look like I have a hard time eating bread. No. He goes, well, you have celiac. It's a thing for bread. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. And somebody asked me, has it affected you? I thought, oh, my diet hasn't changed. I still eat sandwiches and pizza crust and all the stuff there, and my stomach does not bother me. The doctor's report might say I have this. And I went back like 5 years later and did another thing. He's, oh, everything's fine. It's like, yeah. Because it doesn't matter what you're, you know, I'd say that to the doctor. It doesn't matter what your report says. All I know is I'm like, okay, thank you. Thanks, doc. No problem. And then you go back and you're like, okay, it's right. Now I know what to believe for. I didn't know I had it. My body didn't know I had it. People are like, oh, that's kind of strange. Talk to Dave Roberson. He knows the guy that has his arm works perfectly fine. When they take an x-ray, there's no bone in here. It got crushed in a work accident. And his body moves. His arm moves. And he keeps going back for x-rays because they keep giving him workman's comp because according to the x-ray, there's no bone in the upper part of his bone. It's upper part of his arm. And he wants to go back to work, and they won't let him. So they give him, like, disability checks. And he doesn't like the fact, but his arm works perfectly fine. The doctor says, well, it was years ago. He's a walking miracle. But I just wanted to something came to me while we were during worship, and I thought it was interesting because in Nehemiah, because we were talking about the walls coming down, and in Nehemiah 1, verse 10, this is when they sent Nehemiah, he got a report, he's going back to Jerusalem, people are going back to Jerusalem, people are starting to build it again, they're going back, and he heard a report that the walls are down. There's no walls in Jerusalem, walls are destroyed, the gates are down. So he asked the king, can I go back? And I love verse 10. It says, now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed. Because he's praying. Actually, he's praying. He goes, who you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand, O Lord. I want to go back and rebuild the walls. You know? And it's like, these people are redeemed, but they're not yet restored. And sometimes we as believers can be redeemed, but until we get into the word, we won't be fully restored. We can be redeemed. I first got saved. I was saved. 28 years old, 26, 28. I was saved. Woo! But I wasn't redeemed yet. I was still smoking. Still doing other things you don't need to know about. Still not living my life. But the restoration came over the years. And as it came, as I was able to knock some walls down that the enemy had, but I was able to rebuild some walls. Because it says in Psalms, Proverbs 25:28 says, he that has no rule over a spirit is like a city with broken down walls. We have to have a rule over spirit. We have to renew our mind according to the word. So it's not just that we have to have a breakthrough, but we also have to have a defense against the enemy, which is the word of God. We're not afraid of the enemy, right? But it says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he comes like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. You got to have a defense. The defense is the word. The defense is what we get to do with our with the word. So, because prayer is based on the word. Our worship is based on the word. Our intercession is based on the word. Our lifestyle is to be based on the word. Everything we do is to be based on the word. So all of our restoration is based on the word. All of it. I love it because it says that I am, Nehemiah says, I am the king's cupbearer. And I was like, and it brings me back to the communion table. He's the cupbearer. He was the one that tasted the juice for the king. Make sure it wasn't poisonous. What a job to have. Especially if you have a king that nobody likes. You drink it first. But he's, in Nehemiah, he's a covenant child. Okay. It was fine for me. I don't know why he died. You know, but anyway, so there's not just that we have a breakthrough and we go out, but we have a breakthrough or that we also have a defense, that we build a wall. Not in the negative sense, but we get to build a defense. Amen? So I just want to close with this thought. Your 41 is coming. In the Bible, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Sun broke through on the 41st day. Moses committed murder and hid in the desert for 40 years. On year 41, God called him. Moses went up the mountain for 40 days. On day 41, he received 10 commandments. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. In year 41, they walked into their promised land. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. On day 41, David showed up. Jonah preached the message of repentance to Nineveh for 40 days. On day 41, God stopped his plan to destroy him. Jesus fasted, was tempted for 40 days. On day 41, the enemy left. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days. On day 41, he ascended. So all this, don't quit. Day 41's here, amen? Your breakthrough's here, amen? So, and I just love it that your breakthrough is here. And like I said, I know if you don't have a church in this town, I love this church. Our pastor preaches the word. Him and Miss Nita, they live a lifestyle that you can follow. They really do. Is he human? Yes. But he's a man. I love it. When we first came here, I remember I said to Kathy, I could call this place home. First service I came on a Wednesday night, it was like I could call this place home. Because he doesn't just fill his spirit. He doesn't just renew his mind. He's also intellectual. He's been to university. He studies naturally as well. And he goes to the gym. He looks after his threefold being. He really does. And that's what I love. I should follow him more. Follow him more. But he does. He's like I said, if you don't have a church in this town, I encourage you to come on out. Follow him. Pastor Steve, Pastor Ken. There's a good group here. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can... Let's get to stand for a second. Because the first breakthrough I want to mention before I pray is if you've never been saved, if you don't know if something happens to you and you were to go and you don't know if, you know, if you'd meet your maker, as they say, you know, first breakthrough I had was when I got saved. That was the first one. Broke out of death into life. Amen. From the tomb into the throne. And that's the first breakthrough as a believer that we all have. So if you haven't been saved, just repeat this. We'll get everybody to repeat this. And if you haven't made him Lord in life, just follow this. Just say this and then come and see me afterwards or see Pastor Ken or Pastor Steve. We got a book for you. But just make him your Lord. It's not a hard, boring life. Take my yoke. He said, it's easy. Follow after me. It's a life of excitement. It's a life of challenges. But it's also a life of victory. Amen? So just say, Father, I thank you that you sent your Son. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me and you bore my sin on the tree. I thank you that you were raised again, and that I can be raised with you. And it's just a symbol of me calling you Lord. I invite you into my life, and I'd like to serve you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple. It really is. Just call him Lord. That's what it says in Romans. Amen. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you shall be saved. That's it. And for the rest of us, we just your day 41 is here. Amen. Your breakthrough is there. And it's just, no matter what it is, your breakthrough is there. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as we go forth from here, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can continue to serve you. We can continue, Lord, to magnify you with our lifestyle, with our walk, and with our conversation. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we go forth, Lord, knowing that as I be obedient to you, that my testimony makes me solid with you. And that as I'm obedient, that my lifestyle will bring you glory. And we just, Father, just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you honor in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.